Welcome to As You Wish Talk Radio. I'm your host, James Gilliland. We're broadcasting from the Self-Mastery Earth Institute, also home of eSETI, located in Trout Lake, Washington, otherwise known as UFO and Paranormal Central. Tonight, we'll be covering exopolitics with Dr. Michael Sala, an expert in the field. And rather than wasting any more time, I'd like to really get in it. Are you there with us?
Yes, I'm here, James. I'm glad to be on the show.
Great. I know you've got some books out, and what I find out interesting is that my curiosity is that with all these PhDs behind you and all this study and involvement in other politics, what brought you into the exopolitics field?
Well, I was involved in a lot of other politics, international politics in particular, and one thing that always puzzled me was why a lot of conflicts continued to burst out in violence and destruction when there appeared to be resolutions and peaceful outcomes that had been reached by many scholars, and I was involved in some of those. And so I began to look for explanations for why this happened. And so as I began to research outside of the conventional political paradigm, I ran across this idea of extraterrestrials visiting the Earth and this being suppressed from the public by governments who are reverse engineering captured extraterrestrial craft and trying to acquire advanced weaponry to shoot down extraterrestrials so that they can continue to strengthen the national security system. And that seemed to give me a lot of insights into exactly how the international system has been set up so that a lot of international conflict continues to perpetuate itself.
Yeah, it's amazing that you would think that we could learn from beings that are, some thousands, millions, billions of years ahead of us in evolution. You would think that they transcended all disease and war and all the things we're undergoing today. But why don't we create an avenue or open a door for them?
Well, that's such an interesting question. I think one of the favorite situations that I like to refer to is what happened apparently when President Eisenhower back in the 50s had what were reported to be his first meetings with extraterrestrials, and it appears that the first extraterrestrials that came along that met with Eisenhower appeared very ethical, appeared to basically take the position that, look, you're developing advanced atomic weapons that can be incredibly destructive to your planet, and we want you to stop, and in return we'll give you advanced spiritual teachings. And I think from the evidence it seems that Eisenhower was kind of attracted to that, but his advisors were strongly against that they thought that this was not a good idea at all, and instead they continued to interact and communicate with other extraterrestrial groups that then gave technology in exchange for some rights that the U.S. would give. So in other words, our government, the national security system in place in the 50s and continues today, is very interested in getting advanced technology that can be used for weapons purposes rather than spiritual upliftment.
Yes, exactly. It seems like they made a deal for genetics and a few other things in lieu of weapon systems and things of that nature. And from what I understand, they realized that was a very bad mistake and it didn't go right. And, it all has to do with the consciousness that you seek with is the consciousness that you create or you draw to you. And it seems they, because of their war footing and want to be in control and be top dog or whatever, they attracted some beings that weren't that evolved, it seems like.
Yeah, well, it seems to be a good example of that hermetic law of the law of correspondence, like attracts like. So, I mean, if our government is really into a kind of cutthroat race to acquire weapons of mass destruction, because we need to remember that back in the 50s, I mean, the U.S. was in an arms race with the Soviet Union. And so I think the national security leaders just rationalized that, well, if ETs come, if we don't make a deal with them, well, they'll make a deal with the Russians, and so we can't allow that to happen. So we'll make a deal with the ones that give us the most technology so that we can build our national security system. And I think they attracted into their environment groups of ETs that weren't very ethical at all. And I think the more ethical ETs, the ones that first came, I think just basically withdrew all interaction with the government and basically began to just work with private citizens and continue to do that till today.
It seems that's the case, because what I've noticed, if you don't rise to the occasion in consciousness, and if you don't have pure intent and, you know, a very, you know, pure heart and are aligned with serving humanity and the earth, they just take the high road. You know, they hit the road and they say, we'll come back later when you evolve a little further and make contact.
Well, I think that basically is what happened when it comes to the government, and I think the government is learning that, as you said, that they may have made a major mistake here. But I think once you embark down that road of developing secret technologies for destructive purposes, and you build up a vast infrastructure that's funded from black budget monies, it's very hard to turn that around, because, I mean, some estimates of the black budget go as high as, $1.7 trillion a year.
That's
amazing. So that's an enormous sum of money that is gained through all kinds of illicit means. And so if the government were to sincerely turn around, it would mean that they would have to kind of reveal this. And I think that that's just too much for many of the national security types. So I think they're determined to keep the secrecy system going as long as they can.
There might be one thing that might be happening, and from my understanding is that the further they go in these black projects, and they're being watched, and from what I understand, they broke off contact with some of the low-level contacts, you might say, and there is contact going on now with higher-level ETs, with they're much more benevolent and spiritually and technologically advanced beings that are coming in right now for this evolutionary cycle we're in. And I think eventually even these black projects and these Area 51 boys and everybody else, the more they have contact with these higher beings, the more they realize, you know, that the work that they're doing needs to change in course and direction. And hopefully the more contact they have, eventually they're going to say, okay, well, you know, it's time to quit playing around with the war toys and start moving in a different direction.
Well, that would be a wonderful development. I mean, I think those who do run the black projects, if they are open to what the more ethical ETs have to say and share, I mean, that would be a really good sign.
Mm-hmm.
So let's hope that they do take that path. But I do know that the more ethical ETs are interacting with private citizens, so I kind of put more hope in private citizens and groups that are really interested in developing their spiritual consciousness and awareness, that they will make the difference, and that a rising global consciousness, because we're all linked ultimately, and if this rises because many, many millions are improving their consciousness and interacting with more benevolent beings, then eventually, like the rising tide lifts all ships, so even the black projects and those that run it will be kind of lifted. So maybe this is what you've been experiencing. So that would be very encouraging.
Yeah, it seems that what I've seen is when you get down to the basic people, you know, they're all open for contact. They want to know. And I believe one of the times CNN polls had over 80% of the people believe that UFOs exist and there is a government cover-up, and they have one poll after another. I believe even the United Nations had a vote, I think it was 174-0, to stop the weaponization of space, and to, you know, hopefully there's people there that want to open the door to contact with off-world visitors and things of that nature. So it seems to be going in that direction.
And I think it's really good that people who are interested in this start to look at the kind of implications politically of thinking about how ETs interact with governments and interact with private citizens, because I think that as we become more aware of what is happening and we start to develop initiatives, and I know that this is what you do, with the enlightened contact with the ETI, that this builds up the global awareness and consciousness and makes it more possible that we can develop a more open and a more genuinely interactive experience with extraterrestrials, rather than it being kind of secret, or rather than it being kind of hidden away in small pockets, that we make it more open, and where the media is more able to deal with this and report on it in a fair way.
Exactly. The we had ABC actually come out here and do a report on it. And, you know, they had their cameras rolling and the ships came in. We had all kinds of experiences here, and they kind of showed the stuff that wasn't so slam dunk, you know, in the report. But they did a very good report on it, and they covered all the evidence here, and it was very, overall, it was a very positive report. And afterwards, they called me back, and they said, when can you come on again? They said our ratings went through the roof, and all the advertisers loved it. So I thought that was quite interesting. Now there's money behind this. You know, they can capitalize on it and boost the ratings and everything else. So I think it's now that that's come about, unfortunately, that that is the manifesting force on this planet right now. You know, that is going to really open the door for this.
Well, that's true that, you know, we do live in a capitalist society, and if there's money to be made from some new set of ideas, there'll be those that promote it. And it'd be nice that people approach the whole ET phenomenon because of its inherent upliftment in terms of consciousness. And I guess for many private individuals, that'll be the prime motive. But I guess for the media, and kind of more commercial enterprises, they'll be looking at, well, you know, if the ratings go up, well, we'll do more stories on that. And,
exactly.
And I think it was really significant that Peter Jennings did that special last year, Seeing is Believing, that showed that there are millions of people that are interested in the ET phenomenon and willing to explore it seriously. So that must make a difference.
I think it is. I think the doors are opening, you know, and it's part of our evolutionary process to reunite with the rest of the universe, and it's just a matter of time. You know, people ask me, well, you know, I'll believe it when they land on the White House lawn, and I said, well, I think they did that in 52. You know, they buzzed the White House quite a bit and came back several times, but I think they were looking for intelligent life and still have been, and kind of haven't found it yet. So, you know, they're looking for people of pure intent, you know, that are aligned in serving humanity and high integrity, and that's why they're not operating, you know, within a lot of the, you know, major aspects of the government, and coming through, you know, people like you and I and people that have aligned ourselves in service to, you know, lifting this planet and raising consciousness and cleaning up the earth, so to speak.
Well, I think it's so important that people who are interested in establishing communications and interacting with the more ethical ETs start to strategize about how they can do this. And I know at some point we'll probably start talking about the conference, but one of the things that I'm really excited about is looking at how we encourage citizen diplomacy initiatives with ethical ETs and how this can be something that people can be trained to do more effectively, and how that might encourage those ethical ETs to kind of come down, because, you know, they are impressed with the kind of sincere intent of individuals practicing these kinds of concepts. So I think that's a very important direction to take.
Oh, exactly. Speaking of this upcoming conference, I know I'll be speaking there, and I'm looking forward to the conference and the dolphin swim as well afterwards. But do you have a list of the lineup that you have there? It's an incredible lineup for this conference, and I think anybody that misses this conference is really missing a chance to take a quantum leap in consciousness.
Yes, it's quite an impressive lineup. I'm really pleased that we've got, of course, Paul Hallier coming along, who's the former Canadian Defence Minister, and for those that don't know too much about him. I mean, he is someone that came out in September of last year with a very strong set of statements concerning the weaponization of space and how, in his view, the extraterrestrial phenomenon is very real, and how we just simply can't go on in terms of being ignorant to the weaponization process that is occurring and that's being led by the U.S. We also have an ambassador, a former U.S. ambassador who served three U.S. presidents at four U.N. conferences. That's Ambassador John McDonald, and he'll be talking about citizen diplomacy with and how that might be used in relationship to extraterrestrial visitors. So that's very exciting because he's one of the world's foremost authorities when it comes to citizen diplomacy. So it's great that he'll be here at the conference. And we have a number of other speakers who are going to use their backgrounds in citizen diplomacy or various diplomatic initiatives to help people who are present at the conference understand exactly how diplomacy can be developed when it comes to extraterrestrial visitors. We have, for example, Scott Jones, who has been involved in creating peace centers in various conflict sites around the planet. He'll be there. There's Alfred Weber, who has been behind the UN Decade of Conflict, Decade of Contact resolution that was introduced to the UN. So he'll be there, and there'll be many others. Of course, you'll be there, and Daryl Anker will be there with Bashar, Joan Ocean with the Dolphins. So it'll be a really great experience, and I hope many can take advantage of this opportunity to see such a collection of people at one place over a three-day period.
Yeah, I think you have Mary Rodwell from Australia coming in.
That's right. Yes, Mary will be there. She's going to be coming and talking about the extraterrestrial encounter experiences that she has been researching, and she's got a great DVD of that, and she'll be showing some of that DVD and discussing her experiences and how the human extraterrestrial contact does lead to a transformed and expanded consciousness. So that'll be really a wonderful opportunity to hear Mary's research with many case studies, and she's a clinical hypnotherapist and was a registered nurse, so she has kept a very good database of all of her clients.
You know, I saw her talk at the conference in Montreal. We spoke together there, and talk about a door opener. We seem to have some of the top people in almost every church that were there, archbishops, you name it, were there from around the world. And it was quite interesting. We're all together on a panel, and they kind of asked me that one question, you know, what do the ultra-dimensionals think of religion? And they really shouldn't have asked me that question because, the answer kind of had them shocked when they thought about it. But, you know, in a nutshell, they just said that, you know, everything begins in one point and everything goes back to one point. And they talked about the core of every galaxy is a creative intelligence, which is love, which is the manifesting force behind all creation, and separate into structured truth and trying to make the infinite, putting the infinite into finite terms and books and words and is basically impossible, and then competing on who has the best, you know, the best book and the best definitions and everything is just crazy. So they just said, you know, everybody's one, everybody comes from the same source, everybody goes back to the same source, so what's the problem? You know, they just don't understand it. But I think most of us here are realizing that with all the breakthroughs in quantum physics and everything, you know, the unified field, we're realizing that, you know, we're all in this together, we all live in a sea of consciousness, and, you know, it's time to lift that consciousness and be kind to each other and the planet.
Well, that seems to be the time that we're experiencing now. I mean, many have spoken about the earth changes and the destructive end times, and I think, you know, we're very familiar with the kind of doom and gloom scenarios that have been coming up over the last, you know, 10, 20 years. But, I mean, obviously, nothing like that has happened. And, you know, what's the answer? And I think the answer to me is that consciousness has lifted so much that a lot of these kind of psychic predictions of what lay ahead in terms of end-time disasters, that those things have been pushed back because as our consciousness expands, that somehow makes possible a more peaceful and more kind of harmonious growth for the whole planet. And while we still have trouble spots around the world, I think by and large, many places are experiencing a kind of steady growth in consciousness and awareness and working together. And so this is very encouraging.
I noticed that in my research, you might say, I saw quite a few things. I saw massive ships, and these are NASA photos, parked in front of the sun, which expanded their fields out and blocked some massive solar flares. And I actually grabbed those photos before they disappeared off the SOHO site. And that, you know, the solar flares actually create an increase in erratic weather and earthquake and volcanic activity. And they've helped us out there. They've been doing batting practice with who knows how many comets and meteors that were scheduled to come in and have an impact on the Earth. And they also flew down the San Andreas Fault, and this was very well documented in a lot of the UFO groups, you know, that have the files and put them out regularly. But these massive ships flew right down the San Andreas Fault, beaming light down into the fault, and then the big quake that was supposed to level San Francisco didn't happen.
Well, I think all of those examples are basically made possible because our global consciousness and awareness has evolved. I know Teilhard de Chardin, he talked about the new sphere, the global consciousness, and how that evolves and how he was able to trace the evolution of this global consciousness. And many others have spoken about the global consciousness and how that kind of responds to global events. There's the Princeton Project on global consciousness. And so what that suggests to me is that we must be experiencing a sufficient growth in the global consciousness to ward off these destructive events, because we're simply becoming more aware of one another, more concerned about one another, wanting to actually assist and help one another. And that growth in kind of caring or compassion is protective ultimately, and I think that's probably why we haven't yet seen the really kind of major destructive events that many have been predicting.
Exactly. I think we're becoming a civilization worth saving.
Well, that's a great thought, isn't it?
Yeah. One time I think they were saying, boy, they're never going to get it. Let's just let them work it out, and we'll just, you know, move on and come back in another 30 or 40 years and see if anybody's left, you know. But I think now that the tune has changed and they're intervening quite a bit, both spiritually and technologically, and assisting us in this birthing process as we move, you know, into the next phase.
Well, someone up there must have noticed.
Exactly. You know, I believe there's all of these referendums or emails going around about, do you want contact, and if so, and you know, people are signing these things, and I think that's great. It's more important for people to meditate and put the offer out there and ask for help, you know, and then it falls into the you know, the category of it's initiated and asked for, and they're not interfering anymore with human evolution or the prime directive, they call it. And I think when enough people as a collective call out for help and said, we really want to turn this planet around, what can I do here on the ground, and will you help us do this, more and more and more help is going to be coming from on high.
Yeah, that does seem to be a genuine phenomenon that is happening now. I mean, there seems to be just more people that are willing to come forward and ask for help from ETs, asking for their assistance. So I remember 3 years ago when the change the world message was first came out, one of those messages asking for ETs to show up, and just how people were frightened about saying yes to ETs showing up. But yet it seems that now similar messages can go out and you just get more people saying yes, we want ETs to show up and we want them to help.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's very encouraging. It shows that people are more open to having a genuine interaction with ETs and just more aware of the problems that exist on our planet and how the intervention of more ethical ETs can really help us deal with those and resolve them.
It seems the ultra-dimensionals and the benevolent, spiritually advanced ones are just a thought away. And if people attune to them and ask, you know, how can I help? What can I do here on the ground? And do their meditation time and get quiet and be still. They seem to be fed all kinds of new information, earth-friendly technologies, you know, ways of doing things better and changing and living a more spiritual and wholesome life, closer to nature with technology that's earth-friendly. Seems to be the message just about everybody's getting.
Yes, it's amazing just how there is that growth in awareness of the, you know, of the ETs and their willingness to come and help if people are genuinely open and willing to do the work in terms of meditating and clearing their consciousness of undesirable practices and thoughts. And I think people are just becoming more aware that somehow the world we live in is kind of a manifestation of our own thoughts and our own feelings. And so if we do some of that inner work ourselves, we can make an impact on what's happening outside. And of course, that helps us make an interaction, a more genuine interaction with those ETs or ultra-terrestrials who are willing to help us.
Exactly. I love Bruce Lipton's work, you know, where I call ourselves PDUs, we're perception-driven units, you know. And we're running around, and they're finding out now that your body is not programmed by the DNA, it's programmed by the antenna on the outside of the cell that's picking up information from all kinds of sources, your environment and other unseen intelligence. And, you know, they found out there's not enough DNA to run in the genome experiment. Actually, they found out there's not enough genes to run the body. I think they came up about 70,000 short. So now they're finding out that there's some unseen intelligence that surrounds the body, outside of the body, that's running the show. And when people realize this, it opens the door for, you know, changing your consciousness and changing your reality, which is the main foundation for quantum physics, it seems.
Yes, I mean, that idea just seems to be taking ground. I mean, it just really is amazing how more and more people kind of accept that, yes, the reality we experience is a manifestation of the thoughts and feelings that we have as individuals. And so, you know, if we work at that kind of micro level, then we can influence the macro. And that's really profound when you think that, you know, 30, 40 years ago, people were really locked into a mechanistic worldview where you have a world, a big world out there that is totally separate to what you're thinking and feeling. So I think it's really a profound development that we're thinking more in that kind of quantum level now.
Could you imagine if everybody just took the time and put out the thoughts and started visualizing the world just being completely transformed and all the dimensions opening up and the beautiful ETs coming in and assisting us, you know, the greater family of man, and focus as much love and joy and peace into that thought as possible, and that would totally turn this planet around. It would be amazing.
Well, yeah, that's an amazing thought, and just as you're saying it, of course, and, you know, myself listening to it, and I guess all the viewers listening to it, you know, we envisage that possibility, and because of the emotions it generates in us, we help to manifest that, because it's a beautiful vision, you know, this idea, as you describe it, of all the dimensional realities opening up, coming together as we embrace that, and as we see the relationship we have with all of these different ultra-terrestrial, extraterrestrial groups, and that there's a coming together, that's a beautiful vision. And as we kind of envisage it, and as we experience some joy at that possibility, then we manifest it. I mean, I think Greg Braden's work, the Isaiah effect, is a really good example of how when we envisage these possibilities, then the level of joy and happiness we experience helps manifest that.
Exactly. They say like one positive thought outweighs or out-manifests 1,000 negatives. And if enough people got together and just, you know, some of these beings that walk on this plane here, if they were to manifest and walk through your garden, everything would bloom just in their presence. This is how beautiful these beings are. But they just take the high road if there's bickering or conflict or whatever, you know, and they just kind of disappear. And both then, loving or healing energy or whatever from another level. But, I mean, they're waiting for us to create a space here, which is basically what we're doing here. We're creating the consciousness and the environment that is conducive to contact. And I think that's why we've been so successful here. We very much focus on processing all the old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experience and stick to the basics, you know, which is, mm-hmm. you know, being kind to each other and being kind to the planet. And that creates the opening or the doorway for them to come and contact and eventually probably walk among us.
I think you're absolutely right that as we envisage these positive thoughts and develop our own capacity to embrace a higher reality, that we manifest that. And I think the important thing that you said there was that every one good thought or feeling cancels out like 100 or more negative thoughts. And I think that must be true, because nothing else would explain how it is we haven't kind of descended into chaos and how you haven't had very destructive events. Because when you look at the content of the media, the national media is the main media. I mean, the stories that they put out are at such a basic level in terms of disaster, scandal, corruption, wars, and so forth, that the media puts out all of this negative information, very few positive stories, but yet we as a civilization haven't imploded. So that must show that there must be that number of good thoughts and good actions being generated at a micro level in all countries to maintain the balance, because otherwise I think we would have imploded long ago.
Exactly. There might just, you never know, there might just be a few masters and saints here holding it all together, you know, until we wake up. Than that, you know, but we all have to find the master within and do our own work. You know, eventually.
Well, I think that book by David Hawkins, Power versus Force, I mean, he came up with a kind of chart there or a table for how those who are at the upper end of the evolutionary ladder, how their thoughts and feelings have incredible potential to transform the collective global consciousness. And so maybe there are a few that we would call masters who have reached levels of consciousness that are just kind of, you know, way beyond the ordinary person's abilities to live that way, and somehow these masters are able to kind of keep the balance, of course, with the rest of us who are kind of somewhere in between, trying to develop ourselves and try to kind of envisage positive outcomes and relationships with our ET and ultra-terrestrial friends.
Exactly. I think when we understand the fact that we are multidimensional beings, you know, existing on a vibrational continuum, and that we're not just this body and this personality, and start connecting with the higher aspects of ourselves, things are going to change exponentially. And it's almost like, you know, I love what this one woman said. She said, everybody's waiting for the invasion, you know, or the landing. She said, it already happened. She said, they landed in the bodies, you know. And so all these beautiful souls that are very aware of who they are and where they came from are very advanced spiritually and mentally and emotionally, are now coming in and incarnating and anchoring that consciousness into the collective consciousness of Earth. So So, like, everybody's looking for the skies, waiting for something to happen, and maybe it's time to look within and look at your neighbor, you know, for something to happen.
Yes, I think it's a beautiful idea and concept. I mean, that whole indigo child, crystal child, I mean, as people begin to see their children as being these evolved souls who have incarnated in these tiny little bodies, I mean, as, you know, just the very idea that your child can be this advanced soul and you put energy into that, then, you know, that encourages that phenomenon to happen. So, and it's wonderful to see that parents are, you know, go out there and buy books on indigo children, how to raise an indigo child and how to deal with crystal children and so forth. People are kind of really interested in looking at their children through this new set of glasses in terms of crystal child, indigo child, and of course the children themselves are amazing. I mean, I've had amazing experiences with young kids who just show a level of openness and intelligence that I know I never possessed as a youngster at that age. So there seems to be definitely some deep phenomenon happening, and incredible evolved souls are being born here.
Yeah, I know some of these kids, and they float. They just bounce around, and they're so blissed out. And, you know, I can see how some people, they find it irritating because they reflect back to them their own lack of joy or lack of connection, you know, with the bliss. And then on the other hand, you know, you take photographs of these kids and they have no head. There's just a big ball of light there, you know, in the film. I have some of these photographs and it's amazing. But and they are strong. I mean, nothing's going to divert them from who they are and their truth. It's amazing. And I think these kids coming in now are a lot of them are just unshakable, and they're very plugged in, and they're no-nonsense children. You know, they're not going to fall victim to the mass illusion, you might say, or the mass hypnosis going on here.
Well, I mean, this is something that's been happening for some time now, so a lot of these kids are now reaching adulthood and getting jobs and moving into influential positions. And one of the things I remember that was really gratifying for me when I was teaching at American University, I was teaching in the International Peace and Conflict Resolution Program, and every year we'd have an intake of kind of like 60 people who would do the master's degree in International Peace and Conflict Resolution, and they were just such bright souls. I mean, people who had worked in Africa, who had done volunteer work in crisis centers in Asia, or had worked in Bosnia, returning Peace Corps volunteers. I mean, just such wonderful souls. And I could see that these young people were all destined to play influential roles ahead, and we really do have many beautiful souls that have incarnated and are now in their adult years and who are becoming more influential, and I think maybe in the end that'll be what tips the scales, just the younger generation, you know, their desire to just change this world completely and not willing to kind of put up with the lies and the deception and the travesties of the older generation that I think is probably fatigued.
Yeah, it seems that there's definitely, it seems to be a measurable shift and pulses coming from galactic core, you might say, huge energy waves moving through. And in my telepathic contacts, I was giving times and dates of these shifts, and I would watch, and people around me go, "What is going on? Boy, everything is coming up for me, all my old issues, all my old wounds." You know, some people are going, "I think I'm going crazy, I'm spacing out, I'm losing it." And it's when these shifts come through, and it's obviously we're getting help from some very advanced consciousness. I think the creative intelligence behind this whole galaxy has said, "Okay, kids, we're going to the next level." And all these other beings are working, doing their part, assisting in this process. And I think a lot of these ETs are part of this process as well.
I think it's a wonderful concept, this idea of the galactic core emitting this energy that somehow influences all parts of the galaxy, and that we're coming into that field. Because, I mean, there's definitely something there, as many have commented. But I think for me, the really interesting thing is when you get people just connecting with the galactic core, immediately the consciousness is expanded, because you're going outside of the solar system. You're actually saying, well, there's this galactic core in the center of our galaxy which somehow influences our life. And people can kind of like accept or reject the whole notion of kind of galactic waves spreading out. But the very fact that they're thinking about the galactic core and the galaxy being some kind of elliptic plane that generates these giant waves that kind of resonate back and forth, I mean, our consciousness expands and means that, you know, we're growing. And maybe that produces the very effect that, you know, people think might be coming from the galactic core. It may in fact be that, you know, our awareness is expanding because we're bothering to pay attention to the fact that there is a galactic core in the first place.
Yeah. It also helps that NASA is monitoring it but doesn't know what it is or what its function is. But, you know, if you understand the vibrational continuum and things come from the highest frequency and move on down to the lowest frequency and create change all along the way, it totally makes sense. A good example is a solar flare. When it goes off, it hits the bioelectric fields around the human body and it creates a quickening, and which creates, you know, a lot of emotional release and things of that nature. And some people get a little unstable when these things are coming through. But, you know, they also create the erratic weather, you know, and the increase in the tornado and hurricane activity. And as they move into the denser aspects, they create heat and pressure, you know, which creates more earthquake and volcanic activity. So when people understand the vibrational continuum and how these higher frequencies affect all the way down through to the physical, then they'll understand more about how this whole universe is connected, and that we're on a ride, and it's coming from the highest levels that you know, no man can resist. It's what's that old saying, resistance is futile? You know, we don't have a choice, we're going, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, that kind of rising tide lifts all boats. I mean, if global consciousness is expanding, and, I mean, we are receiving these impulses from the galactic core or from higher dimensional realities, and our global consciousness is rising, then, it'll lift all boats. You know, even those that are most wedded and most attached to the old way of doing things, I mean, they're going to be affected, because ultimately, you know, they have families, they have interests, I mean, they have those that they want to have a better life, and of course, if that changes for them, well then, you know, their world changes, and that affects all of us. So yeah, I mean, a rising tide lifts all boats.
Exactly. People just ask me, how do I feel about, you know, these dark projects and, you know, all these alphabet agencies and everything else? And I said, well, they've got families too. You know, and if they come here, they're going to awaken to the fact that there's an energy here. And we've had people from almost every agency come here and have seen the shift, and they're trying to find out what's going on. And they know they made a mistake in the past, some of these agencies. And all they want to know is to make sure that we are working with the more benevolent ones. And a lot of them come here for a couple of days, and they unfortunately go back, or fortunately, might say, quit. And they're changed in consciousness, and they realize that we are working for them and their families. We're working for everybody. You know, the whole life here, no matter where you are or what field you're in, or it doesn't matter. You know, this shift is for everybody, and it's in the highest and best good of everybody.
Yeah, I think that's so important when it comes to those running the black projects. I mean, some of them have enormous resources and enormous power to affect things on the planet because of the projects that they're running. You know, those people still have families, and they want their families to have the best. And if they can see that this world is shifting to in a way that would produce a better outcome for their families, I mean, that must influence them. I mean, that must have an effect. And like you said, you know, those that go up and visit you up at the Mount Adams Ranch, I mean, they if they see the reality of the future possibilities that you're trying to work to create, if they see that and they can envisage that and the effect it would have on their families, then, yeah, I could imagine them quitting and becoming a force for good.
Yeah, I think we should have a black project called Heaven on Earth, you know, and put trillions of dollars into that, you know, and take them out of it, take the trillion dollars they just earmarked for weapons in space that aren't even going to work anyway, because, you know, we've had huge golden ships fly over this property here, and they fired pulse lasers and plasma weapons, everything at it, and it just got a little brighter and kept going, didn't do anything to it. And you would think in the interest of national security that it would be wise to shoot at these things, you know, being that they're interstellar and interdimensional and probably can turn the planet into a cinder if they wanted to. But I think that's what a lot of these guys are coming here for, is to understand the phenomenon, because they haven't risen in consciousness yet to really get the big picture of what's happening. And once they do, they realize how crazy it is to be firing on these entities, and they're not going to allow any kind of a nuclear exchange, so you might as well just dismantle that program as well. And my feeling is, well, let's take all these resources, and in this war on terror and in, you know, the war in general, and let's focus on peace and creating heaven on earth, and we would have it in no time.
I agree. I think just a fraction of the resources that go into the kind of military-industrial complex, I mean, if that were used for genuinely peaceful purposes, I mean, our planet would change dramatically.
Oh, yeah, we have everything we need to end disease, basically, and clean up the planet. And, the technologies are there to provide all the energy needs we need without fuel. You know, the fuel technologies are here now. And if we just made the big shift and turned this around, we could, have a quantum leap in evolution and consciousness here and experience heaven on earth. I think it's entirely possible if the people rise up for the occasion and say enough's enough, and we're going to take the upward spiral.
Well, I'm very pleased to be based here in Hawaii, where people can do things like swim with the dolphins and have those kind of interactions with the marine life around here, because I think the kind of dolphins give us an idea of what the future world can be like, of one of where it's not necessarily the kind of technology that you have that marks your intelligence or marks your evolution. It's really the kind of the joy and the compassion that you manifest in your life, because the dolphins are incredibly intelligent beings, but they don't have any technology, and yet they are totally content with the lives that they lead because of the amount of joy and compassion that they radiate.
Exactly. From what my understanding is, that the soul of the dolphin is pretty much from the same group as the human. They just took a different embodiment. And they seem to have some phenomenal abilities. What I think is funny is that a lot of people think they're just a dumb fish, but the bottom line is that they understand us, and how much do we understand of them? You know, I think it's kind of ridiculous that their crew, their little bliss bullets, shooting around in the ocean, having a great time, and look at our struggles and the way we set things up. And I seem to have to wonder, wait a minute, who's the evolved one here?
Right, and the question is, what would the extraterrestrials consider to be the more evolved race? You know, would it be humans with our advanced destructive technologies, kind of pillaging and depleting the Earth's surface, or would it be the dolphins or the whales, the cetaceans in general, who go around the Earth's oceans, sending out sonar and trying to balance the Earth's energy grids? I think many of the ETs would consider them to be the more evolved species and probably interact with them. I mean, you said at the start the ETs would be visiting and they would be looking for intelligent life, and, you know, they'd kind of buzz Washington, D.C. and these other areas and find no evidence of intelligent life. Well, you know, if they went to the oceans, well, there's an abundance of intelligent life with the cetaceans. And so what exactly have the ETs done with the cetaceans? That's an interesting question, and some people have talked about that in terms of ETs and dolphins working together, dolphins often going into ET ships or transporting themselves into higher dimensional realities. I mean, incredible information. And the thing is, it would be really good if this were studied in a more rigorous way so people could learn about it, because it seems that the dolphins are the ones that are having full-blown open interaction with ETs, and yet we're not aware of it.
Yeah, they seem to come out whenever there's a ship spotted. You hear the same thing here. You know, when the ships come in here, the birds start singing at night, the coyotes start howling. We have all this incredible activity. Nature is totally attuned to the event, and if you're sensitive, you feel them way before you see the ships. And it's amazing, and most of society has lost that. You know, and I think about what I think about. Okay, let's get in touch with your feelings now and say, okay, I'm going to give you two tickets. One ticket is to go to Hawaii and swim with the dolphins and experience a bunch of beautiful people that are awake. Here's your other ticket. You can go to Washington, D.C. Which one do you want? You know? And which one is your heart telling you need to do or experience? And energetically wise, if anybody is sensitive at all, they would not even think twice before grabbing the Hawaii ticket.
Well, it really is an amazing place here, and as far as the location for the conference that's coming up, I mean, this is really going to help create an energy field that hopefully will create the possibility for new ways of doing things and new initiatives to come out, because I do think just the fact that it is Hawaii and that people are coming here from around the world to explore how the connection, what the connection is between extraterrestrial civilizations and world peace, creates a possibility for something profound to emerge that we can push and have spread out and impact on the global scene in some way.
And now your website is it's exopolitics.com, is that correct?
Well, the conference website is etworldpeace.com.
Okay.
And my exopolitics website is exopolitics.org.
Okay, .org, yeah.
That's
and
right.
Then you've got, and you have, I know it's on your website, you also have a link there for the conference, and it has all the information on how people can come to the conference and set themselves up there.
That's right, yes. So they can do all that online, and if they do it online, they can even get a discount. We've got a May special happening at the moment. So this is something that people can just go to the website and check out all the information and the speaker lineup and the topics and just see if it resonates with them. And if it does, well, then definitely come out here. I think it'll be a wonderful experience. And of course, if people haven't had that chance to swim with the dolphins and interact with them, well, this is your chance.
Yeah, you've got your book, Exopolitics, The Political Implications of the Extraterrestrial Presence. And I guess they can get that through your website or just about anybody, more than likely. It's probably with New Leaf and Dandelion and all the other bookstores as well. You know, can order that. One of the things I was interested in for my biggest thing in coming there, I mean, I love doing the lecture circuit and meeting all the other great speakers you have lined up there. But that dolphin swim, that's been a dream of mine. It's one of the to-do lists that I was planning on doing, you know, before I exit this planet. it's great that we're having that after the conference. And is that available to not just the speakers, but I guess it's available to just about anybody, isn't it?
Yes, we got a boat. We actually hired chartered a boat. So for anyone who comes to the conference and they want to have a dolphin swim after the conference, then they have that opportunity. They can register for that through the conference. We've got some links there, and they can find out. But definitely, it's a great opportunity.
Hello, everybody. Just going to be able to close up here in just a minute.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, well, looks like we're out of time. So I just want to thank you, Dr. Sala, for coming on and being a great guest on the show. And again, your website is exopolitics.org. And again, what was your other website for the conference?
The conference website is etworldpeace.com.
etworldpeace.com. And do not miss this conference. It's going to be incredible. I know just the energy with all of the people coming to speak there and what they bring is going to, you know, be a world-transforming event, especially when it's all recorded and gets sent out all over the world. So, again, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show. And this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off, and have a great day.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a bloginservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.